Amen. If you have your Bible tonight, turn to Titus chapter number 2.
Titus chapter number 2, verse number 6. The Bible says, "Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded. In all things show thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, and sincerity. Sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you." I want to preach just a little while. I've got to bear help on this thought. Patterns of good works. Patterns of good works. In the Christian call, if you will, it makes their life, when we're called, it makes our life a pattern for others. It makes us a pattern. It should make us a pattern for others to see and a pattern for others to follow. I just asked a question. I'd ask yourself a question. Am I a pattern of Jesus Christ, of a Christian, that other folks can see? And better still, am I a pattern of Jesus Christ that other folks can follow? Amen? Now, whether you are or whether you ain't, that's up to you at the help of the Lord. Amen? That's what we should try and strive to be. Paul would say this in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. He said, "For I beseech you, be ye followers of me." Amen? He said, "I beseech you, be ye followers of me." Paul is our spiritual, as a spiritual father. He was exhorting the Corinthians to be followers of him. He would go on in 1 Corinthians chapter number 11, verse 1. He said, "Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ." So Paul said, be followers of me as I follow Christ. Amen? I wonder if we could ask ourselves tonight, or could we encourage other people around us tonight, or, you know, our families and our cohorts and our work people and things, could we ask them to sincerely to follow us, knowing that we are following Christ? Or would we be that person, if they follow us, that we'd lead them off into the wilderness? Or that we would run them into the ditch? Amen? But would we lead them in a path of righteousness for His sake? So that's what He's telling us here. That's what He's speaking to Titus. And we get this part a lot of times, and we see how God is manifest Himself. And He says in verse number 6, "Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded." Hey, He's talking that sober-minded means to be in control. Or bigger than that is to be self-control. In other words, to control ourselves, to take knowledge of our actions. Amen? We need to be observant of our actions. We need to be observant of our reactions. Not only how we act, but how we react in situations. And He's telling the young people to exhort to be sober-minded. Amen. To be in self-control, to control ourselves in this journey called life. These people, it's always watching our lives. Amen. No matter where we're at, no matter what our occupation is, somebody is always watching you. Just how do you know that? Because the Bible says Jesus is watching you. Amen. He's always watching you to see what we're going to do. But there's always people everywhere that we go that's watching you, and they see what you do. When you order your food down at the restaurant and you go in and you sit down and you bow your head and you ask God to bless it, somebody watches you. Somebody is seeing that. Your life is a witness to that person sitting at the other table. You say, "Well, it ain't really a big deal." It is in the eyes of God. Because you're putting yourself out there, praise God, in self-control, you're taking the time to magnify God and lift up to Him. Amen? Hey, I told you before, I wouldn't sit down and eat unless I asked God to bless it. Because I don't know, hey, in these places where you go, you don't know who's cooking that food. Amen? And praise God, so we ought to pray and ask God to bless it. You ain't no telling what you might get. Amen, if you don't. I wouldn't put it in my mouth till I asked God to bless it. Amen, praise the Lord. But he said that we need to be sober-minded. He said we need to be in self-control. Praise the Lord. He said, "In all things, show thyself a pattern of good work." He said, we need to be showing ourselves off for the glory of God. He said, we shouldn't be arrogant or high-minded in what we do. But in humility, with self-control, we ought to be an example of Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody that people can look at and see Christ in us, that blessed hope of glory. Amen? I'm talking about a self-evaluation, realizing where we're at tonight. Are we a pattern of good works? Are we doing the things that bring glory and honor unto the Lord? Amen? He said we need to do it in doctrine. So we see here, God begins to break this down now. And He gives us a great challenge, not only a challenge, but a privilege for Christians, for folk that profess Christ's likeness, amen, to live a life, praise God, in view of a pattern of good works, doing the things that bring glory and honor to the Lord. That's what it's all about. When it's all said and done, when the pages is turned, at the end of the story is that we do things to bring glory and honor to the Lord. That our lives, praise God, is manifest as a Christ-likeness, because one of these days you're going to be like Him. Amen? Praise God, we'll end up in a perfectness, praise God, in the presence of our Savior, in the likeness of our God. So we take time to look at this, we take time in the Word of God, and we take time to see the pattern that God would have us to be. Looking for a pattern in us of good works. Is there a pattern of good works in your life? Amen? Is there? Now He said these works that we do, He lays them out here for us. And He says it's a sound doctrine. Amen? Works in doctrine. Now doctrine is biblical instruction. Amen? He said we should have a pattern in our life of being instructed by the Word of God. That's where we get our instruction. It bothers me when people say, well, you know what, I'm not going to make my children go to church. If little Johnny don't want to go, I'm not going to make him go. Amen? You know, it's kind of funny. We won't make him go to church, but we'll make him go to school. Amen? I'm going to tell you, a church is a whole lot more important than school. Amen. Biblical instruction, indoctrination in the Word of God, that biblical instruction, praise God, it'll do him a whole lot more good than schoolwork. Amen. You say, preacher, you anti-school? No, I'm absolutely not. Praise God, but I'm pro-God. Amen. If we'll instill doctrine, if we instill the Word of God in their hearts, praise God, they can achieve great, mighty things in this world for God's glory. Amen. They can do more with the things of God than they can with things of the world. He said, if we seek first the kingdom of God, His righteousness, He said, all these things shall be added unto you. The things that we're trying to get for our children and our children's children, our grandchildren, praise God, they can get from God if we'll just instill it in them that there is a God, that He's real, and our life is a pattern of good works to bring glory to His name. Praise God, they can see it in us, and they can become followers of Christ as they follow us, and the pattern of our lives can be a blessing to our children and our grandchildren. Amen. They're looking for somebody to be an example. Amen. And that example ought to be you. That example ought to be me. Amen. That example of correctness, and example of instruction. Look what Paul said. Paul would tell in Timothy chapter number 4. 1 Timothy chapter number 4 in verse number 12. Look what Paul would say to Timothy. He said, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example. Here it is again, that pattern. Amen? He said, be thou an example of the believers, amen, in word. Hello? That's how we speak. He said, in conversation, that's our conduct. He said, in charity, that's how we love. And I'll just say it again, you can't love, praise God, till you learn to love Jesus. When you learn to love Jesus, then you can love each other. Amen? Okay, listen, I wouldn't even think about marrying somebody that didn't love Jesus. Because if they don't love Jesus, they can't love you. Come on. Amen. Praise the Lord. But when you begin to love Jesus, you begin to love the Lord, praise God, then He teaches you to love each other. That love comes out. Amen? He said, in charity, that's love in action. It ought to be in action. Praise God. In spirit, that's the Spirit of the Lord being inside you. He said, in faith, that's just believing, praise God, absolute faith in the Lord. In purity, that's a pure life. Can you see? He said, this is what an example is. Paul's laying it out here, praise God. He said, this is what we ought to try to be to the church. Or to try to be to in our life, or try to be to each other, but we ought to most importantly be, or try to be to the world that we live in. Amen? Praise God. In purity, a pure life. He said, till I come, give attendance to reading. Amen? He said we need to devote, take a little devotion time. Amen? To read and study the Word of God, to look at it. Praise God. To read. He's talking about private and public ministry. In other words, to read and study it, Brother Charles, and then take it out into the world and pass it out. Amen? You get up and do your daily devotion and then take it out in the world and say, hey, can I tell you what I read this morning out of the Bible? Can I share with you what the Lord shared with me? You'll be amazed how it encouraged your heart, and that'll encourage somebody else. Praise God. That pattern that we have. Attending to reading, to exhortation. That's lifting up, that's magnifying, that's encouraged, that's being an encouragement. Amen. You know, there's a lot of discouragement in the world. I say it all the time. But discouragement is everywhere. You don't have to go hunt it to find it. It'll find you. But encouragement is not it's not an everyday thing. I told some people today, yesterday was a day of smiling. Amen. And you go, when you smile at somebody, it makes a difference. We went to have some business with somebody the other day, and the lady behind the desk, she was really kind of hateful, honest to goodness, just to be honest. At first, kind of hateful and standoffish. And I thought, well, bless her, she's having a bad day. And I just kept smiling at her. Amen? I just kept smiling. Finally, after a few minutes, praise God, she kind of started smiling back. Amen. Praise the Lord. And I told her, I said, you know, this is a good day that the Lord has made. And said, we're, you know, trying to help people. Praise God. To encourage folks along the way. And before I knew it, she said, are you a preacher? And I said, well, yes, ma'am. Amen. And boy, it brought out a smile in her. God done that. It wasn't me. But it's just that smile that you put forth, praise God, be an example of the hope that's in us of Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm not going to go around and frown on my face because I've got a hope in me that one of these days, praise God, everything's going to be wonderful. Amen. All the bad's going to be gone. It's the day of the sadness and the sickness and the sorrow and the death and the dying, praise God. It's going to be behind me. It'll be in my past. And I'm going to be living in the present with the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God. He said, but exhort. He said to exhort and to doctrine. Here we have it. He's brought us full circle. He said to biblical instruction. He said that's how we can get all this stuff to fit in and find a place for it is in biblical instruction. Biblical truth, praise God, that we have from the Lord that makes a difference in our lives. Paul would go on to say in 2 Timothy chapter number 4, 2 Timothy chapter number 4. Let me just start at verse 1. He said, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Now watch this. Be instant in season and out of season. Amen. Peace. He said, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. There it is again. Biblical instruction makes the difference. That's why it's so important that we have biblical instruction for our children. Amen? Biblical instruction for our family. Biblical instruction for our homes. It makes a difference. Exhorted with all long-suffering and doctrine. He said, for the time will come. So why do we do it? Why is it important now? Because verse number 3, he said, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Kind of like the time that we're living in today. They don't want to hear the truth. Amen. People don't want to know the truth. They don't want to hear the truth. They don't want you to tell them the truth. Even though the truth will make them free. Amen. It'll make them free from condemnation. They'd rather you tickle their ear. Listen to what he says. For a time will come and they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and be turned unto fables. He said, that's where we're living today. People want you to tickle their ear and tell them how good they are and
How everything is going to be okay, even though they're living like the devil. Their destination is hell. But they want them to tell them that everything is okay, that they're going to be all right. Had a family a while back had asked us if we'd something happened, if I would do a funeral for their loved one. Amen. Lost as a ball in high weeds, and was glad of it. Would tell you straight to your face, they didn't want nothing to do with God. And as we said, would you do their funeral? They're not well. And I said, well, I can do his funeral, but I'm going to have to tell the truth. Amen.
Amen.
And they said, what do you mean you have to tell the truth? I said, he's lost. I said, he rejects God. He hates God. He hates godliness. And I'm going to have to tell him, all I can tell you is God is a just and a righteous God. Amen. But I can't preach him into heaven. See, they're thinking I can get him out. You can get him out. We can't get him out. It takes believing on Jesus Christ. And if they can't see a pattern of life and pattern of works of Christ in our lives, amen, they'll not make it to heaven. We are to be a pattern, Paul says, for others to follow. And he tells these young preachers, praise God, if you're going to try to minister for the Lord, he said, you need to stay with the book. You need to preach and speak the truth. Praise God, your conversation, your manner of speech needs to be right. He said, you need to speak, praise God, with a dignified conduct. Amen. That's what that word gravity is. Amen. Where he says, he said, doctrine showing uncorruptness and gravity. Amen. That's that dignity in our conduct. That's being composed and being a serious manner. Praise God. Living in a manner that's worthy of respect. Amen. Worthy of respect, living in a place, praise God, under sound doctrine, under that the dignity, praise God, of our conduct, to where it would justify people's respect, where they could respect us. If we say one thing and live another way, praise God, it's hard to respect somebody like that. Somebody that's wishy-washy, somebody that's not consistent in what they say that they believe. Amen. And in the way that they live, praise God. He said we ought to be in gravity and in sincerity, praise God. He said they ought to be free from any pretense in their lives, free from any deceitful living, free from hypocrisy. Amen. If we say that we're a Christian, say that we've been saved, say that Jesus lives in us, praise God, then we ought to live like it. Amen. But Bobby, God calls for holy living. He said, be ye holy, for I am holy. Hey, that's not a suggestion. That is a commandment. God said, we are supposed to be separate from the world. We are supposed to live a separate, holy life. Holy, dependent upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, in case you don't know it, you can't keep yourself. You can't keep yourself pure. You can't keep yourself in holiness, but Jesus can. Amen. We're in the likeness of our Savior, praise God. He manifests Himself. He lifts us up. And in His power, He keeps us, praise God, in His embrace. He holds us in unto Himself, praise God. He draws us unto Himself, and He keeps us there if we'll let Him. That's why Paul would speak to Timothy, and he said we need to have that dignified conduit, praise God, conduct, praise God, where it's like a conduit that keeps us on the straight and the narrow. So we don't go this way or that way, but we stay consistent in our walk for Christ. There's too many people today in fundamental independent Bible-believing churches, praise God, it's wishy-washy. Amen. In one day and out tomorrow. One day, boy, they're there, they're testifying, they're praising God, they're getting in, and the next day you can't find them with a search warrant. Amen. May not see them at the house of God again for 6 months. Amen. God ain't in that. Hello? God is consistent in His love for us. God is consistent in His approach to us. I praise God. We ought to be consistent in our approach to Him.
Amen.
Amen.
They want to be seeking Him daily while He might be found. And we find Him every day, praise God. He leads us through that day into the next. Encourage us that we might be an encouragement to others. So He said in sound doctrine, praise God, in dignified conduct. But also He said in sound speech. Look at what He says. He said sound speech that cannot be condemned. He said we ought to have sound speech. Look at 1 Timothy chapter number 6. 1 Timothy chapter number 6 and verse 1. He said, let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and His doctrine, biblical instruction, be not blasphemed. And they that have believing masters, let them not despise them, because they are brethren, but rather do them service. You know, the Bible tells us that we should do all things as unto the Lord. Amen? And He said these folks that have masters, these folks that's serving people, these are servant to others. You know, down there at the workplace or where you make your living and things like that, praise God, we ought to be doing the best we can as unto the Lord. Amen? You say, somebody told me the other day, well, preacher, they just don't pay me enough to take all that. I said, hey, praise God, that you was the one who applied for the job. Amen? Praise the Lord. The old fellow said, if you don't like it, leave it. Amen? Go find you another one. But we ought to, when we're there, praise God, we've signed on, we ought to do the best we can for God's glory. We ought to give Him a praise God. He said, well, I ain't going to give Him 110%. Amen? We ought to do it for them just as if we're doing it for the Lord. Come on. Amen. That's Bible. We ought to do the best we can for the glory of God. Praise God. Why? Because He goes on and says this. He's let them not despise them because they're brethren, but rather do them service. Here's why. Because they are faithful and beloved, partakers of the benefit. These things teach and exhort. Amen. To encourage. He said, if any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to doctrine which is according to godliness. Amen? That's what lines us up with the Lord. When we do those things that are wholesome, praise God, that gets the job done for the glory of God, and we see Him moving and manifesting Himself in it, then the wholesomeness of God comes out in us. In 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 13. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 13, he says this. He said, hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. Amen? So there we have it in a nutshell. Paul breaks it down and he said, do what we do for the glory of God and do it in soundness of speech. Speaking those words, praise God, encouraging each other that God would get glory out of our lives. That's what it's all about. Giving God glory, praising Him for His goodness and His mercy. The help that He gives us day by day. I can't do nothing without Him. And you can't either. Jesus told us that. He said, you can do nothing without me. I believe Him, don't you? But boy, He's able to help us if we'll let Him. He manifests Himself to us. He shows us how much He loves us. He shows us the way we should go. He helps us to walk in righteousness. That's right. That's what's right according to God. See, the world has a way that they think's right. But God said there's a way that is right. And it's in the nurture and admonition of the Lord Jesus Christ that we can have that we can be that perfect example. We can be that pattern of good works. James would say, show me your faith without works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. Amen? Praise God. He said, show me your faith without works, and he said, I'll show you my faith by my works. You say, but preacher, do we have to do works to be saved? No. But when we get saved, praise God, we ought to want to do those things that's right to bring glory to God. That folks can see Christ in us, praise God, and see that hope that we have, that we can be that encouragement, praise God, in the journey that we live that's called life. Amen? So that we can walk circumspectly with the Lord. So we have that doctrine, that dignified living, praise God. We have that sound speech, but we need that sacrificial living. Amen?
Praise God. The sacrificial living. Sacrifices. Preacher, what do we say? Do we offer up sacrifices? Yeah, we do. We sacrifice self. Amen. We don't sacrifice people. We don't sacrifice animals. We sacrifice ourselves. Look over at Romans chapter number 12. Romans chapter number 12, in verse number 1, Paul's talking to the Romans. And I said, and he's talking to saved Romans, people of Rome. He said, I beseech ye therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. God don't like dead things. Amen? Come on. God don't like dead things. God don't like cold dead people. God don't like cold dead churches. God doesn't like dead things. Amen. Hey, it was once when I was dead in my trespasses and sin, but praise God, thank God I've been made alive in Jesus Christ. Amen. And we are to act like it. Amen. Praise God. We're not performers. We are to be like it. Amen. We are alive in Christ Jesus. Praise God. But he said, present your bodies a living sacrifice. Holy. That's without spot or blemish. You say, well, preacher, they ain't none of us perfect. We are in Christ Jesus. See, when Jesus saved me, he clothed me with new clothing. I have on a robe of righteousness. It's not mine because mine's is filthy rags. Amen. They're so vile and disgusting. My rights is so vile and disgusting. They said it's like filthy rags. It's like those rags they use to bind the wounds of lepers. When those rags come off, they have to be discarded and buried and or burned, got rid of. They can't be washed and cleaned up. Praise God. They're too defiled. That's what my righteousness was. That's what your righteousness is. But our righteousness is the righteousness of Christ. A perfect, sinless righteousness, praise. A righteousness without blemish. A righteousness without fault. That's how we're going to make it to heaven if we get in. It's through the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ that when they look upon us, Brother Bill, they won't see us, but they'll see Christ Jesus. His righteousness. Amen. It's a holy righteousness. It's an acceptable righteousness unto God. That means it's agreeable with God. That God will accept it. That God finds it pleasing. Amen. That's the kind of sacrifice that God's looking for. A sacrifice wholly acceptable unto God. He said, which is your reasonable service. Amen. So logic would tell you, praise God, it's just reasonable that we should do this because God has done so much for us. He brought me so far. Praise God, I couldn't imagine being without Him. Could you imagine being lost in this world without God? People, the things that we talk about this morning, things that we go through and have to go through it without Him. I can't even fathom what it'd be like to have to go through a day without the Lord. Amen. Now, you may be here tonight and you think, maybe you're young, maybe you're old, maybe whatever, and you think, well, you know, I don't really need God. I want to tell you, you're crippled too high for crutches. Amen. We need, every one of us need the Lord every day. We need His presence in our life. We need His manifestation to help us along the way, to encourage us, praise God, so we don't get discouraged. He said, that's just our reasonable service. Sacrificing ourselves is just a reasonable service. And see, and he goes on verse number 2 and he says this, and be not conformed to this world. He said, don't let the world fashion you. Amen? Don't let the world fashion you. He said, be not conformed, don't be fashioned like the world. He said, but be ye, you, us, me and you, transformed by the renewing of the mind. He said that that transformation is that metamorphosis that takes place inside of those who are born again as Christ Jesus and the Holy Spirit move into us, begins to clean house from the inside. See, what happens in Christian churches, you know what happens today? We try to paint people up and clean them up, kind of like polishing a pig for the fair. Amen. We get them all cleaned up and spotless, and we put a big bow on them, but you know, and we take them to the fire board, and they win first prize because they really look good. But you know what? What's on the inside? Pork. Amen. Still just an old pig. You turn it back loose, and they're going to waller in the mire. Amen. Praise God. When you cleanse out, when you have that metamorphosis, when you have that cleaning from the inside out, that renovation process, the Holy Spirit moves in and He begins to clean house on the inside, and He begins to push the old nasty, filthy stuff out of you. Amen. Let me just say this. That's why sometimes when people get saved for a little while, maybe a week or 2 weeks or a month, maybe 4 or 5 months, sometimes they get so hateful on the outside you can't hardly stand them. Amen? Because that old man inside is oozing out of them. It's pushing out, and the Holy Spirit's are cleaning them out, and they're so miserable. They're saying, thank God, glory to God, they're rejoicing in their soul, but the old man ain't liking what's happening. Come on. Amen? And her old flesh is trying to hold in that old man, praise God. But thank God that new man that's in there, that new creation that God put in you through the Holy Spirit, it's amazing. He's a cleaning house. He's renovating the place, praise God. He's a ripping her apart with a jackhammer so He can make everything new. Amen. And in a little while, you see a person that's got born again, that's saved and loving the Lord and getting in there and serving Him. And you see that transformation is taking place, that renewing of their minds, or renewing of their hearts, that changing of their intellect, how they begin to think different. When you begin to think different, you begin to act different. And Paul is telling them here that that's what takes place. He said that you may prove what is that good and acceptable. Now that proving, that's that discernment that God gives us. That God is right and we're wrong. Amen. If you get people to understand that today, that God is right and we're wrong. Amen. He said, let God be true and every man a liar. Amen. Praise God. Because if we say something that don't line up with what God says in His Word, then it's not the truth. And you can say anything you want to all day long, but if it don't line up with what God says, it's a lie. Amen. He said, but you may prove what is that good and acceptable. That's pleasing to God. And perfect will of God. See, that perfect will of God, that's that will that's complete for God. That gives Him the glory. Amen? Praise God. It's that makes a difference everywhere you look. That's seeking the Lord, praise God. Look, seeking the things that are good. Seeking the things which are acceptable. Amen. Seeking to discover the very will of God in your life. The direction that He'd have us to go. And walk in therein. He said that's what happens when we become that sacrifice unto the Lord. He begins to make that difference in us. That's that sacrificial living. Amen. There's nothing wrong with that. Because that's all a part of the pattern, being a pattern of good works in the day that we live. And he was telling Titus here in just a few verses the same thing that he had told Timothy and the same thing that he would tell these other young preachers, praise God. He said, just allow God to help you that you'd be a pattern of good works for God's glory. Our lives ought to be a pattern of good works. Amen. The things that we do to bring glory and honor to the Lord Jesus Christ. Living, praise God, in the calling of Christ Jesus our Lord. Paul would say, follow me, be ye followers of me, even as I follow Christ. Amen? He praised God. Be followers of me. Hey, listen, but he said, you know, if I'm not following, he said, mark them that follow not. He said, mark those that are unbelief and follow them not. Amen? He said, we need to find some folks that's followers of Christ. And then you say, preacher, I don't really know all I know about this. Praise God. That's all right. Find somebody that knows Jesus, that loves the Lord Jesus Christ, and follow them. Amen? But praise God. Follow them as they follow Christ. Praise God. Amen? Praise the Lord. Hey, they may not be perfect, but praise the Lord, if they're trying to do right and trying to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, as mama, daddy, mama, or papa, Praise God, a little one or big one, praise God. If we follow Christ, that's why it's so important, praise God, to be a pattern of those good works. Amen. It's because he said those folks that's watching, we don't want to lead them astray. We want to lead them on the path of righteousness for God's glory. That they succeed, that they could truly see Christ in us, that blessed hope of glory that we'll have one day. Amen. I'm glad one day in a little while we're going to ease out of here and we're going to go home to be with Him. Amen. And I want to know that, praise God, that God, that folks can follow us and that we could lead them into that blessed hope one day. Amen. That one day we can all be together in heaven with Him. There ain't nobody left out. But it don't matter today how old you are, how young you are. You're to pattern your life, praise God, that you just have to decide in your heart that you're going to be a follower of Christ. You have to decide in your heart, praise God, that you're going to be a pattern of good works. Amen. What about your life today? What kind of pattern are you putting out there? Is it a pattern of good works? You young people are down there at the schoolhouse. Are you living in a way that's pleasing to the Lord? Are you trying to lead people to Christ, show them a Christ-likeness? That they might see Christ in you? Is Christ in you? Amen. If Christ is in you today, you ought to come out. Amen. Something as big as that gets inside you, praise God. It can't help but come out of you. And you ought to come out. People ought to be able to see Him. Amen. We ought to be able to present Him so that folks can see Him, that God get the glory. It's a great and a high calling. It's a challenge. It's a privilege to be a Christian. Amen. To live a life, praise God, a life where we're a pattern of good works, doing those things that's pleasing to God. How do we know? Because it's according to His Word. Amen. That makes a difference in us. That changes our lives if people can see it in you. That old brother Bill used to say, if there ain't a change, there ain't a chance. Amen. Something big as the Holy Spirit of God moves in your heart, takes up His bow. He'll clean you out on the inside and make you presentable for God's glory. Amen. If you're here tonight and there's never been a change in you, you haven't noticed that change, then I'd check up. I mean, I wouldn't just keep going through life with the presumption that everything's okay when there's not really been a change. There ought to be a change tonight. There ought to be a difference. It's a difference that you can see and difference that others around you can see. So when you come up, they don't frown at you, but they smile at you. They say, amen, glory to God. There's something different about them. Kind of like being around you now. We're used to, they didn't. Amen. Have you ever had people in your life that just didn't want to be around them because they acted sour and miserable all the time? Amen. I'd rather have people that's got love and joy in their heart. Praise God. And they can smile at you and they can love on you. They can encourage you. You can encourage each other. That's what happens when we have a pattern of good works. That's part of our life, part of who we are. And God begins to manifest Himself through us and to us. Amen.